It's like Mark says, not a lot is written about this gift. Even in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, there's not a lot about the gift of giving. It's sort of just an expectation that we will give. And it's interesting, too, that David's talked about the gift of faith that works into the gift of miracles. And I think it's so with all the gifts, that it's the gift of faith that drives everything, as Hebrews 11 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So giving is usually understood as tithes and offerings in the Bible, and the Bible clearly distinguishes between the two. And I always thought of tithing as this law thing, but it actually predates the law. In Genesis 14, 12, Abraham, that's way before Moses, comes back from the plunder and actually tithes, gives a 10% of the plunder to Melchizedek, who was the high priest at the time. Interesting, I've also heard a lot of sermons, not in Oceanside, about the fact that tithing is not really something of the New Testament. It's an Old Testament thing. But let's just look at 2 Corinthians 9, 6, 7. Clearly a New Testament verse that talks about giving. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. These two verses say so much more than not tithing. It talks about, to me, it is a picture of the Old Testament law that was what we have to do, going into the New Testament where we have the Spirit of God living within us, and the renewal of our minds that happen. It's really living a life of generosity because of God's goodness and God living through us versus the law that was given to Israel in the Old Testament. I also think that it refers, if you go through those two verses, it refers about a lot more than just giving our money. It's our time as well. Here's a New Testament verse that actually mentions the validity of tithing in Luke 11, 42. I'll just quickly read through it. Woe to you, Pharisees, because you give a tenth of your mint, rue, and all other kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone. Clearly talking about that tithing is legitimate and it's a real thing and it's something that we need to do. Also in Philippians 4, 14 to 16, we see that Paul specifically mentions this generosity of the Philippians church. Yes, it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in a matter of giving and receiving except you only. So clearly talking about the generosity of this church that shared with Paul. So how is this gift helpful? And in my view, and as you can see, sort of what my line here is that we really cannot talk about a gift of giving without first dealing with this tithing thing. In searching for verses about giving, I was really not able to find the Bible talk about this burden that was laid upon us to give. The references are mostly about the blessings to those who give. I always thought that these gifts require some sacrificing from the person practicing them. A couple of verses about that, Isaiah 58, 9, 10. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, here I am. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with a pointing finger and malicious talk, if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the need of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. blessing again on the giver. Psalm 37, 25, 26. I was young and now I'm old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. They are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be blessed. Here, even through the parents, the next generation is blessed because of the generosity. It gets back to, yes, we give, but then it's always back to the giver that's actually blessed. So the receiver obviously gets a blessing as we give. But we also see that the blessing and the benefits really is to the giver in all through the Bible. I think there's just one thing that is really important through this all is that the glory needs to go to God. And the only time that I could find where the giver is not blessed is in Matthew 6, 1 and 2, where Jesus says, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven." So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. You cannot get away from this reward when you give. So one of the questions Mark asked us to look at is, how do you know that you have this gift? And with all these gifts, I mean, it's a little bit of a sensitive point, so you think you have it. The verse that really changed my mindset and brought excitement to me about this gift of giving was the few verses, Malachi 3, verses 8 to 10, where God says, "Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me, but you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings, you are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it." What a challenge and what a promise. The first part is to know that God blesses the giving, but first and foremost in tithing, which goes to the storehouse, the church. In my understanding, there's really no discretion allowed here that, well, my tithing is going to go to the Salvation Army, or my tithing is going to go to... The tithing goes to the storehouse, and that, in my understanding, is the church where you are fed. As Mike always says, that pastor that you're going to call when your child goes to hospital at 2 o'clock in the morning, that's the church where you should be tithing in. I think you know that you have this gift when number one is you have an excitement to give. You have an excitement to help people, an excitement to see what God will do and what will bring glory to His name. And the interesting thing is that it seems a lot easier to give when your bank account is full. But if you have to give that last $100, it gets a little bit tougher, and that's where the faith leads this gift, right? It's, I think, and that's one of the great benefits of this gift and many others, that you have to take God at His word, and it builds up your faith. And I've seen many times the evidence of God's promises, or promised blessing on giving. I believe in North America, we can double, triple, quadruple our giving. And for most people, not all, we will not see a measurable difference in our standard of living. What will that do? Well, that will obviously increase God's blessing to us, because that's what the word says. If you give, you bless. And it will also bless the poor in the community, the poor around the world. As with many of the spiritual gifts, I think that there's two sides to the coin. You tend to, if you love this giving thing, you tend to sometimes run ahead of God. And you so focus on the physical needs that you forget about the spiritual needs. So I believe you really need to spend the time in asking God. Even Jesus said, you will always have the poor. So you cannot solve the world's problems. You have to really discern from God, and not only in Christmas season, you have to discern from God and ask God to show you where to give. There's a lot of need out there.